Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. Welcome to today's virtual retail roundtable, called the Retail Email Holiday Wrap-Up, sponsored by Silverpop. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'll be your moderator for today's event. There's no doubt that the 2010 holiday season was a great one for retailers. A key reason for their success was their great use of email marketing to promote specials, deals, and drive customers into stores. What can retailers learn from 2010's holiday email marketing promotions? That question, along with many other email marketing questions, will be answered during today's lively, informal discussion between our three wonderful speakers, Laura Hantow, the e-commerce manager for Cuddledown, Tracy Taylor, the online marketing manager for King Arthur Flour, and Lauren McDonald, the VP of Industry Relations for Silverpop. Today, you'll learn about three 2010 holiday email trends, holiday email best practices and those to avoid, and how to keep the email marketing momentum going in 2011. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you're enjoying this webinar and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. The survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. Today's speakers will be answering questions live at the end of the presentation and throughout the presentation. So if you'd like to ask a question, use the Ask a Question feature on the console. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed from the Retail Online Integration website at www.retailonlineintegration.com/webinar. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about the webinar today. Please use hashtag #ROIWebinar when doing so. Take it away, Lauren.
Great. Thank you, Melissa, and welcome everyone to today's webinar, Retail Roundtable, Retail Holiday Wrap-Up. And we are really hoping that everybody has a lot of fun today, learns a lot, and ends the week on a really uplifting note. We were talking in the pre-call, Laura and Tracy and myself, about what a crazy week it's been, everything from snow to sickness to other presentations and stuff, and so we're sure your weeks were probably just like ours, so we're hoping that that this will be a great way to end the week with a little fun and some education and some ideas on how to take your retail holiday program up to the next level in this coming year, 2011. So with that, what we're going to do today is talk about some kind of key trends that we've identified and some best practices and tips, and because they're so sort of intertwined, we'll probably kind of incorporate some of those tips and best practices as we're talking about the trends and stuff, and then kind of some separate sections, and we're going to kind of end with a conversation around some things that worked really well this year, some disappointments, and kind of some ideas that that Laura and Tracy have for this coming year, the coming holiday season, and the kind of their wish list, if you will. And then we'll open it up to Q&A. But as Melissa said, she's going to probably, if there's some great questions as we're going throughout, she'll interrupt us and we'll address those. And before we dive in, just the always required quick commercial. If you're not familiar with Silverpop, we're a leading email marketing automation service provider, and heavily focused, obviously, around email marketing technology. But we also have a transactional email platform that a lot of retailers use for those triggered emails and landing pages, survey, SMS, and integrate with all the web analytics and personalization and other technology providers that you would expect that you need to deliver really, really great email programs. And so with that commercial out of the way, let's dive into today's session. So when Lauren, Tracy, and I were you know, preparing for today's session, you know, we kind of talked about a lot of different things and really kind of came up with three buckets of trends that we think were really kind of the key ones for the 2010 holiday. Excuse me. Obviously, some of them have been kind of happening in previous years as well, but they really seem to be, you know, the ones that kind of floated to the top and really kind of coming into their own this last year in 2010. And you know, the first and probably kind of most obvious one is just, you know, is around frequency and what we're sort of calling, you know, new email streams. The second one being the concept of what I'm kind of calling sending waves or just sort of specific holiday campaigns. And thirdly, and directly related to those two, is kind of the emergence of specific promotions and things. So, I apologize. Let me back up here. What I did want to mention is, as Melissa had mentioned, I mean, this year was an amazing year, the 2010 holiday season from an e-commerce perspective. ComScore says that there was 32.6 billion in online shopping in 2010, about a 12% increase over 2009. And in specifics, Cyber Monday was just a smashing success. It was the only single day this last year that exceeded over $1 billion in sales, but there was they identified seven others, like Black Friday, et cetera, that surpassed 900 million. And interestingly, Thanksgiving was up 28% over 2009, far and away the highest increase of any other day. And I'm guessing that may have been just probably the combination of the popularity of kind of Thanksgiving, Black Friday promotions now, and maybe just the fact that it fell on a Black Friday fell on a Friday or something. I'm not quite sure, but kind of interesting. And lastly, and why we're all here, and not surprisingly, email played an absolutely critical role in sort of driving that increase. And according to 4C, email outpaced both search engine results and social, and sort of driving people to the websites, with email marketing accounting for 19% of the traffic to e-commerce websites, with search engine results driving 8% and social 5%. And so with that, let's dive in. So frequency, right? You know, kind of the first aspect, and all of us that look into our Gmail or Hotmail or AOL or Yahoo Box, or those people on this call that are email marketers that are pushing the send button, are intimately familiar with this, right? This sort of dramatic increase that the majority of retailers tend to do, you know, starting in November, right, and running through the holiday season, and oftentimes it might be two or three times the frequency of what you're doing, sort of, you know, throughout the year or whatever. And so I'm going to open it up to just a couple of quick thoughts and comments from both Laura and Tracy on, you know, where you guys are at in that. What kind of frequency increases do both of you guys do with your programs during this time of year?
Yeah, this is Laura from Cuddle Down, and you know, we significantly increase our frequency during the holiday period. Not surprisingly, we have a consumer product that, you know, can be gifted. And just overall, over 2009, we increased our frequency 76% during the holiday period.
76%. Wow. What kind of, in terms of volume of emails, what give us a sense of what that is? You know, is that like, you know, six emails a month during the summer, and you know, nine during the what? Help me with the math there. What does that look like?
We might do anywhere from once every 2 weeks to one a week during the other seasons of the year, but during holiday, we'll do as many or two or three a week. Okay. But using, you know, heavy segmentation to make sure that we're not over-mailing the list and sending the entire list three or four times a week.
Yeah. And real quickly, Laura, I'm just, for everybody that's not familiar with Cuddle Down, why don't you take, you know, 15 seconds or whatever and explain to people what Cuddle Down is and does.
Mm-hmm. Cuddle Down's a luxury manufacturer and retailer of luxury bedding, down products, down feather beds, pillows. And we make it all in Portland. Well, not all, but all the down products in Portland, Maine, and sleepwear and apparel as well, and home furnishings.
Okay, great, great. Tracy, why don't you, briefly explain King Arthur Flower, and then it has nothing to do with flowers, but I'm sure you get that probably 50 times a day. But why don't you say hello and tell us about King Arthur a little bit and your kind of frequency approach.
King Arthur is a 250-year-old flower company. We're based in New England in Vermont. We supply baking ingredients and pans and mixes to all over the world, and we're an employee-owned company also. Through the other 10 months of the year, we mail usually twice a week. Starting November 1st through the holidays, we mail three times a week with promotions running every week and as much content as we can get in there. We also introduced a new stream so we can even mail more.
We'll talk about that in a couple of slides. Yeah, and I know when we were talking about in the sort of the planning call, if my memory serves me correct, Tracy, your frequency was about flat over 2009, but Tracy's yours did, or I mean, excuse me, but Laura's yours did increase over last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, ours increased 76% over last year.
Right, that's right. Sorry.
Ours stayed the same over last holiday.
The same. And maybe could both of you talk about a little bit about the thought process and pressure from management and things like that. Help us, because you know the frequency question is you know always, and particularly around this conversation, the number one issue that people have to deal with, right? It's generally pretty obvious that the more email you send, the more revenue you generate, but there's also oftentimes a list churn impact, right? I've done some analysis years ago for a retailer that, you know, took their email program from 5 emails to 12 emails during the holiday season, and you know generated a nice, you know, there was like $3 or $4 million increase in revenue, which the owners of the company loved. But you know their spam complaints increased 1,300%, and their unsubscribes went up like 400%. So, you know, maybe both of you, because this is really the crux of the issue, right? Finding that inflection point of how far can I push the increase to generate more revenue without, you know, driving too much list churn and stuff. Maybe both just kind of riff on how you guys, your company and your management, and you guys sort of deal with that issue.
This is Tracy at King Arthur. Well, we kind of go into the holiday knowing that we're going to have to mail more, but that we certainly don't want to overmail. It's always a concern. So we put a strict limit on ourselves of how many we're going to mail, what days of the week we're mailing, and that's what we stick to. I think our management kind of agrees with us, and they listen to, you know, our concerns. Last year when we upped our mailing, our unsubscribe stayed about the same. We didn't see any concerning spike at all. This year we saw a little bit more.
Okay.
It might be something we take in consideration last year, or try to figure out exactly why. You know, we mailed the same schedule, the same kind of promotions, and why this year was a little bit harder on the unsubscribes than previously.
Did you happen to see if maybe it was, you know, some of the new, the part of the new stream or anything like that? Were you able to have a chance to analyze, you know, any of that data down to kind of maybe there were specific emails or promotions that drove some of that increase? Or is that on the wish list maybe?
That's kind of on the wish list. The new stream kind of stayed flat. We didn't see any spike with that at all. It was, you know, just our normal mailings that spiked. And, you know, I haven't been able to pinpoint it to anything at the moment, but it's plays on my mind. I want to figure out what happened there.
Yep. Great. Laura, any thoughts from your end?
You know, as far as management goes, I probably push them as far as they're willing to go with.
You pushing them, not them pushing you.
No, I mean, I definitely think that they would prefer, you know, that we take a more conservative approach. But I, you know, this was a season to test it out to see how far we could really push it. And I think that our limitations were really only an internal resource issue in terms of how many emails could I get our designers to, you know, churn out. and this was our maximum. But I did keep a close eye on unsubscribe rates, and compared to last year, they didn't really escalate at all. They seemed to be fairly consistent, and there weren't really any troubling trends that I could pinpoint, and it didn't seem that any particular type of email was drawing a greater unsubscribe than another. So it's just, I think it's just a matter of, again, you know, segmentation plays a really big role in determining whether or not you can keep the people on your list satisfied with the content you're sending them.
Great. Well, it's interesting. I'm wondering, you know, like you said, part of it is both viewers, it's some of the segmentation that you're doing, which allows you to, you know, increase the frequency and the cadence, and because it's then sort of more targeted and relevant, there's going to be more receptivity on the consumer side to you know, not freak out at the volume. But I'm also, you know, just wondering that, you know, maybe that consumers are just getting numb or accustomed to kind of this increase, right? It's been happening so many years now that maybe they're just sort of starting to expect it and not freaking out like maybe they did 5 years ago and that kind of thing.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I want to make sure we kind of keep going here, and we have plenty of time to get through these. So I just to kind of put it visually, I went through my inbox the other night and looked at some of the heavy sailors and heavy senders, excuse me, and not to pick on anybody, but I seemed that Barney's of New York was one of the top senders in my inbox, and just you know, if you look here, and I picked the week before Thanksgiving, figuring that was, you know, that's kind of around that early to mid November part. That time is when a lot of retailers start increasing their frequency. Up till January 2nd, a lot of people continue their holiday program until you know, the new year, because so many people are on vacation or holiday, we say, overseas and stuff. And you can see in this case, you know, they sent 51 emails in that time period, and 37 emails between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and more than one a day. And I know some of the people out there that track this stuff very closely. There were some retailers that actually sent three times, you know, two to three times this volume, so like three emails a day, if you will. So, you know, pretty, you know, some of the retailers out there are getting pretty aggressive. But obviously, they do it because more email equals more revenue. It's just, as we said, you know, finding that balance. And moving on, you know, and so one of the things that Tracy mentioned is the idea of new tracks. And so I think, you know, one of the things that not only King Arthur and Cuddledown doing, but a lot of retailers are doing is not just sending more of the same thing, right? But it's how can we introduce sort of, you know, whether it's segmented emails, whether it's obviously triggered emails, or just sort of new promotional campaigns and email tracks and streams, that those allow you then to obviously you know, it sort of gives you a little bit more leniency with the consumer to introduce more of those emails, because they're touching on kind of different content and different promotions and things like that. So I'm going to just ask Tracy to chat briefly about, you know, kind of what their email stream looks like, but we'll go. She's going to go into detail on some of these a little bit later when we walk through this. But let me maybe just Tracy talk, you know, sort of briefly around how you guys thought about these kind of email streams.
Well, the new email stream that we introduced over the holidays was called Holiday Traditions, and it was purely content. We were sending once a week to an opt-in list, advertised on Facebook and preceding emails that we were doing this. It was mailed every Saturday, and it was a simple recipe from you know, any given country around the world. And we had, you know, we probably should have found a way to promote it a little bit more, but it was kind of a last-minute thought. So that was quite popular. And then we moved into promotions. Promotions we mailed every week, Monday through Thursday, was a promotion, free shipping or dollars off vanilla or something like that. Content was mailed usually every Friday. We're really big on content here. So recipes or tips or just ideas for holiday baking. And we are all about the social media that kind of wraps in with content for us.
Great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we always try to encourage people to share the emails on their Facebook page, and we also encourage them to come back to our page on Facebook.
Yep. Great. I'm just going to do a check with Melissa. Melissa, any burning questions coming in that we maybe want to take now, or should we just move on?
Yeah, there's a couple around segmenting, which I know we talked about a little bit a while ago. Can any of you guys talk about the best way to track and segment your emails when your e-commerce and email software do not work together?
This is Laura from Cuddledown, and what we've been doing in a lot of cases is just using purchase history and using our back-end system, our order management system, to select customers based on purchase behavior. So we'll take a product group, say, for example, bedding, and we'll make sure that the content of the email is relevant to that particular product group and make sure purchasers of bedding get the next, or perhaps a clearance email strategy. We might only select people who purchased off price in the last 6 months or 12 months or whatever that period is. And then what we do is just source code the email segments individually and track the results.
That's great.
Good advice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great insight.
Yeah, definitely. I think we can move on, though.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I want to make sure we leave time for questions.
Yep.
Sort of moving on, I mean, to me, and I don't know if everybody on the audience and Laura and Tracy felt it, but to me this just seemed like, the brown Christmas. I had, in my neighborhood the last couple weeks before Christmas, I mean, it just seemed like I saw nothing but the brown UPS truck nonstop, and they have these jumpers now on and everything, but it just, and obviously no slight to FedEx and everybody else, but it just seemed like, this clearly was sort of the tipping point year of people using shipping or using kind of the holiday e-commerce time to send gifts and everything like that, and clearly some of these shippers are taking advantage of that. And I think that was really kind of the segue for this kind of next conversation area, was really around what I'm calling sending waves, but it's really just campaigns, date-driven campaigns, if you will. But as we talked on the pre-call, I mean, no surprise, shipping deadlines are really becoming kind of the key driver of these waves. And there's obviously some other ones, but in general, and I may not have this exactly right, and it's probably it's clearly different for different retailers. Exactly how they think about it, but there's kind of the first wave is that sort of post Halloween, pre Thanksgiving wave where people are starting to talk about and start to promote Christmas kind of real early kind of promotions, and then there's the big push around Black Friday, and then now driving retailers that have physical stores and stuff using email to drive people into their physical stores, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Walmart at 4 o'clock. I personally don't understand that, but if it works for you, that's great. I like to sleep in after Thanksgiving myself. But clearly now, we as e-commerce people have our own holiday, Cyber Monday, right? And so that has become, sort of a massive of push with email and stuff. And then, after that, it's kind of the shop early, right? You've still got 3 weeks plus, 3.5 weeks kind of thing towards to shop and stuff like that. And then it really gets into kind of the hot and heavy part of kind of the shipping cutoffs, and just everything is driven by kind of those shipping deadlines. And, and then it moves into the Christmas, post-Christmas wave, and I don't know how many emails I got actually on Christmas Day, which was interesting. Everybody knows people are at home, and after they've opened the presents, I guess they go online to see what deals they can get the next day and stuff, and then New Year's. And so, I don't know, Tracy and Laura, I don't know if you, agree exactly, or if I, missed some things, or I know in particular, Tracy, you're in it because your business is around, you know, things like flour and other ingredients like that, that you had an interesting way that your company looks at these deadlines around, you know, getting it there in time to bake. You maybe want to talk about that because I think that's kind of fun and interesting.
Yeah, our holiday starts with Thanksgiving. People are buying to bake, and what are their plans for Thanksgiving? So we start marketing to them, you know, the very first day of November, giving them ideas of what to bake and that we can get you your stuff in time to bake. So, you know, our holiday rolls a little bit more. We're not, although we do position ourselves for gift giving, we're also positioning ourselves to the holiday for that person, that individual who's shopping with us, so that they can have the Thanksgiving and the Christmas breakfast that they want to have. You know, we don't.
Hey. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We don't. You know, we're not thinking of Christmas as early, maybe as some, but we're thinking.
Right. So in fact, Thanksgiving is maybe as much or more important for you guys. Is that right? Or
it starts really early. Thanksgiving's the first thought, and then we move into Christmas and gift giving.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Laura, any you know days or weeks or anything that you know you kind of do things maybe a little bit differently than what I laid out here, or just anything to add on to that?
No, I mean, I think the only thing that we might message differently is that shop early bullet isn't really early anymore. I mean, early really has to be
September.
You know, and that's mainly because of inventory levels. I think, you know, you'll see retailers really did constrict their inventories this year differently than they had in previous years. So if a customer wants to be sure they're going to get the item, they're not waiting until December to order, especially online. So, I mean, if you have a retail store, it might be a different story. But if you're a cataloger or a pure play, it's a different strategy, I think.
Yep. Okay, great. We're about 27 after, and want to make sure we leave at least a good 10 minutes or so. So I'm going to probably try to pick up the pace here a little bit. But the next area we're going to talk about is promotions, and you know, kind of identified that sort of the standard free shipping and flat rate angle, kind of the friends and family, and just kind of what we're calling deadline discounts, if you will. And so, Laura, do you want to just sort of chat about you know, your kind of in-season promotions here, and then we'll move into kind of the specific ones after that.
Yeah, this is one of the new email streams that we had introduced this year, and it was a clearance event. And we've done these before, but not during holiday, where you send out an email with hyperlinks, no pictures of products really to speak of, and you know, just huge discounts on product from our fall catalog during the holiday season. So people can get the feeling that they're getting a promotion, but you don't have to be promotional with free shipping or 20% off our entire website just yet. So this was sent in the Veterans Day time period. And then what we did is we sent this email two more times to the exact same list, minus previous purchasers in some cases.
Okay.
But we added on an additional promotion for the second and third send of free shipping if you buy at least two items from this email. And it was such an interesting thing. The first send had the highest AOV, I think, what was it, the second highest AOV of the season. So it's an off-price message, and yet it had the second highest AOV for our entire email program for the season.
Wow.
So it's kind of an interesting strategy. You wouldn't expect that, somewhat counterintuitive. You know, and it also just generated incredible demand. It had really good response rate and click-through rates, and people really liked the promotion. So,
That's great. Let's move on to the next one. Tracy, you want to chat a bit about, you know, speaking of free shipping and stuff, maybe this is kind of, you know, your series here of free shipping and some of the other, the parchment, et cetera, promotions.
Well, free shipping works for everyone, I think. That's such a huge thing or a percentage off we offer on occasion, too. But the ones that please our customers the most is product-driven promotions, offering something different on certain holiday baking equipment or ingredients is always is a huge thing. So although we
saying kind of like I'm looking at the parchment one, you're saying not making it just sort of broad and stuff, but sort of tying the free shipping to a specific product or SKU or something like that. Yeah, okay, that's great. Yep.
So, the free shipping gets better through the season.
Yep.
If they wait long enough, it gets better. But it's the ones that are popular, the ones that we have calls about, are always more of a product-driven promotion.
Yep. Okay, great. Now, I know Melissa had a audience question she wanted to ask.
Yep, I have a couple that came in that was kind of interesting. One is, do the retailers on the call, do you guys feel companies ordered a lot less this holiday season? For instance, I don't know, than they did in the past, even though they're maybe ordering, do they order just less merchandise?
I think people were a bit more cautious with their inventory levels than they have been probably pre-recession, and I think that there's a lot dynamically going on in the market with sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of outside of this discussion. I'm not really too educated on all of the dynamics of that. But, yeah, I think there were, there's definitely some aspect to, aggressively purchasing email and then having, an aggressive liquidation strategy afterwards if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Did you feel like that, Tracy, also?
I do. I mean, we certainly watch our inventory and make the best estimates that we can make. But I do think that, we're ordering less than what we have in previous years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Was that it, or did you have another one?
Well, there's another one. I just don't know if we should save it for later.
Okay, maybe save it. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're about 32 after the hour, and we'll have about 15 more slides or something, so I want to make sure that we get through them. So the next one is friends and family, and I don't know if it's just me or whatever, but just this seemed like the next big thing this year after free shipping. I mean, free shipping has been such a standard promotion for the last, half dozen years or whatever, and as we talked on the pre-call, I think it was this year that it sort of crossed the chasm, that it was not just a lot of retailers were using free shipping, but it was, every retailer, almost every email, and consumers have really expected it. So it's sort of, it's the default promotion. But to me, it felt like a lot of retailers started using this friends and family concept this year that I hadn't really seen so much in previous years. So, we'll start with Laura on this, and then move to Tracy on thoughts. We've, put in a couple of screenshots of your emails, but first, maybe talk about how you guys define friends and family. How think, because I think you each of you look at it differently, but talk about how you define it and how you approach it.
Yeah, I mean, historically and even this year, we've sent the friends and family offer out to a really select, small, exclusive group of people. And typically, it's really just people who know Cuddle Down employees, vendors of ours, people who are part of our social networks, and some exclusive email subscribers. But we don't just blast our entire email list, so it does really somewhat limit the exposure. The whole intent, obviously, is that you're hoping it will get somewhat viral. I think that's probably the big disappointment for me, is that unless you blast your entire email list, it tends not to. So it's not one of the biggest promotions for us.
Yeah.
That was exactly the way it was for us. We did it with the idea of it only going to our employee owners, and then they send it to their friends and their family and their vendors and contacts, and it just didn't work very well for us.
Yep. Interesting. And so, I mean, the idea being that perhaps the only way to make it really work and drive significant volume is it just becomes a tagline and not really a true friends and family promotion, right? It's just friends and family goes to everybody, but then you might as well just probably use some other kind of promotion. But and I'm not sure everybody understands what it is yet either. I know I was confused in looking at a lot of emails. Like, am I getting this because I truly am? you know, a friend and family or loyal or good customer, and by and large, most of the emails I'd never shopped from, you know, or anything. So I'm guessing they did the broadcast to everybody. But yeah, and I think we might touch on that a little more in the disappointments area. But thank you for that. And the next one, I hand it off to Laura to talk about. And this one is probably pretty obvious and straightforward. But I think most one of the things we kind of looked at is if you look beyond kind of all the promotions, the free shipping and everything we've talked about, it's kind of the combination of you know, having both a standard discount, the 25% off or whatever, but having that deadline, that limited time, that sort of scarcity to it to drive, sort of create the urgency. And so I don't know, any quick thoughts on that, Tracy, of how you guys kind of, you know, combine those deadlines, if you will, to drive conversion?
Yeah, I mean, we did this for Cyber Monday. This same promotion ran last year 2 days before Thanksgiving. It actually pulled a lot better before Thanksgiving. And what I found was that on Cyber Monday, people's expectations were they wanted a lot of discounts and big ones. So this, while this was not restrictive, it was restricted to a specific product group. So you had to be in the market for that product. I probably wouldn't recommend that on Cyber Monday. But generally, as long as you can offer a pretty hefty discount on a product category that's highly desirable, you're going to get some traction.
But you were saying that you were, make sure I understand what you're saying, that you would probably recommend going to your full SKUs or
I would make it a less restricted promotion. Yeah,
right,
I try to make
it
a bit more expansive, so
broader,
to a broader group.
Okay. Great. I don't know, Tracy, did you have any thoughts on that? Or
Cyber Monday, just like Black Friday, is not a big time for us. We do send a campaign, and we offer a discount this year. It was a discount on gingerbread houses and free shipping. And it's, you know, we know it's not going to do well for us. People are gift shopping at that time. They're not shopping
to
bake. So we send something because you all send something, so we want to be in there too. But it's not a big pull for us.
Yeah, okay, great. And by the way, I mean, I think one of the things that I hope everybody on the call benefits from is the idea that we had sort of, retailer e-commerce providers that are actually, you know, kind of have different goals and different timing and things. So we're actually not just overlapping, but I think the baking deadlines and things like that might parlay into other kinds of approaches and deadlines that non-traditional retailers might also experience. And so let's move on to speaking of Black Friday. One of the huge deadline dates, if you will, and that's highly discounted. Laura, maybe talk about your kind of sequence of three emails and sort of the timing of them and how they worked and your thought process behind them.
Yeah, we did this a little differently than we had last year. Last year, we just sent out this promotion on Black Friday. We sent it out twice. This year, what we did is we extended the promotion one more day. So it was a Black Friday sale. We send an email out first thing in the morning, and then we send a second one out at the end of the day to remind people that, you know, there's only a few more hours left. The next day, Saturday morning, we blasted them with another email that said, hey, you know what, we've extended it one more day. And then we sent out one last reminder at the end of the day that only hours left. You know, in this approach, it was actually four emails, but the creative was identical in all of them with just slight color changes.
Right.
Visual cue to people that this is not the same email you looked at earlier today. And it really did help with the traction of it, and it was unreal what impact it had in terms of conversion rate and the actual amount of revenue that it generated. It was clearly the most productive day for us all year, Black Friday, and then the day after it was significantly productive and much more so than last year. I think it had one of the highest open rates of the season for the first send on that Black Friday email. Overall demand was up 43% over the previous year for that same send.
Wow.
So it was just you had a lot of stuff going for it. There were a few things that we changed in terms of the promotion from the previous year to make it more accessible for customers, so I think that helped conversion rates get driven a bit higher. But overall, I think that our creative execution was really tight, and then the timing of having it be a two-day event, having two email sequences on both days really helped.
Okay, great. I'm going to move on and you know, stay with that. And I actually, you know, I pulled these from the screenshots you sent me because I thought it was interesting. I'm a big fan and proponent of incorporating sort of more humanity, more personality and stuff in emails. And I thought it was very creative that, you know, you kind of used the shush, you know, when the boss is away. How did that come about? And did you test that? You know, I mean, do you know if that had any impact, or is it just it was creative but it didn't really have any impact?
No, this is actually one of our favorites. We did this actually as a joke because
was it true?
Did not like giving free shipping away, and so he was going on his birthday weekend, and we said, you know what, while you're gone, we're gonna do free shipping this weekend.
Oh, this is great.
And we actually did it, and customers loved it. I mean, they were just in love with this idea, and so we've anniversaried this every year, and we've fine-tuned it to the point where we've now realized that if we can send it on Friday and send the reminder email on Monday and have the event last the entire weekend, it's the most productive way to do it. The Monday email is so immensely productive as the final reminder again. So I think it's really important to do these follow-up email streams. And incorporating the personality, I think, makes a difference. It engages your customer base. We did one of these at one point with a liquidations thing where we actually put a picture of the distribution center manager. And customers
nice.
Just
yeah.
loved the idea of being able to get a glimpse into the company.
Yeah, that is great. I mean, I talk a lot about that lately, and so it's good. Great to hear that it's actually working for you guys. Let's move on to the next one. You know, sort of, I thought this was also interesting, you know, in addition to the personality that you kind of brought in a product, you know, sort of SKU scarcity aspect to it, or in this case, you know, sort of you messaged, here are some new products. Maybe talk about this kind of quickly of your, you know, thinking and results around this approach.
Yeah, we introduced an internet-only strategy this year leading up to fall and holiday, and the idea was to give people an incentive to shop online and not wait for the catalog to arrive in their inbox. So a number of our items that are internet-only that you can only find on
okay.
Great. And what we do is we message customers via email when we add to that assortment, and customers have been responding to that type of messaging.
Great. And also, I, for myself and the audience, I was thinking back to the Black Friday. Does Cuddledown actually have physical stores, or are you guys just online and catalog?
We do have a store.
Yeah.
It's in Freeport, Maine. It's
okay.
It's full price and outlet, but it's only one store, and it's just kind of our flagship location near
yeah.
The home of L.L. Bean.
Yeah. But the Black Friday the emails were. Not to drive people to that store, right? They're all around online, correct?
An online-only promotion.
Yeah. Okay, great. Let's keep it going here. And I loved this. I thought this was a really great best practice that Tracy does in their emails of actually being completely, you know, transparent and educational, if you will, by putting in a lot of the emails towards the bottom, this the actual sort of shipping deadlines and you know, any you know, sort of thoughts, comments on this, Tracy, and, you know, it have any idea if it had any impact or any feedback from customers? Or
we've been doing it for several years now, so usually start adding it to emails about a week before our first cutoff, and add it to every email that goes out right through Christmas. And customers do like it. They do appreciate it. So as soon as an area is no longer available with standard ground shipping, we let them know and say, I'm sorry, your area is no longer available.
Yeah.
But we do that, and I can see that we will continue to do it.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. It just becomes a standard kind of footer in your emails.
Quick question there, sorry, just about that particular campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Was the shipping information also in your catalog, or was it just available via the email?
We have the same kind of a chart in the catalog and also prominently on the website.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Great. And Tracy, sticking with you, and you know, you touched on this beginning, and we've talked a little bit sort of throughout about content, but so talk about, you know, kind of the role and value and how you're using, you know, content as opposed to just, you know, the promotions like discounts and free shipping and how that works for you guys.
Our content emails are always the most opened. Everyone loves them. We try to do them on a Friday, kind of wind down the week with a little bit of information. So we do the freeze email that you see in the center. We did that that kind of thing the last year, and driving everything to our blog. We're not trying to market any merchandise. It's really just information, and that freeze email clogged our blog and was running very slow. We had so many people on at one time that
Wow. It's
a notorious email. We speak of that often. So every Friday through the holidays, we try to add some content encouraging them to bake pie before the Thanksgiving holiday and candy for Christmas and tips on just, you know, unique ways to bake.
I think King Arthur Flour does such a great job with content. I'm so envious.
Yeah.
It's the thing we look forward to the most through all of planning. We're always looking forward to what kind of content we can put in there.
I actually have a question around that. How do you go about getting the content? I mean, do you have editors on staff? Or
that's
something that we've heard before asked at our publication. So do you write? Do you have folks write? Are they staff members? Do you do them just for the holidays? Or
no, we have an editor on our email team that does the blogs and the recipes and every bit of every word that you see on the email itself, she writes. And during email planning, we say, what kind of content do you want to do in the month of February? And she knows what's hot baking in February, so she'll say, well, let's do a sourdough email and let's do a no-need email, and she writes that all. That's all on her plate.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, great. We've got about 13 minutes left by my count here. Tracy, why don't you chat sort of briefly about social media? We haven't really talked much about it, but I think this was your first year you'd done something like this, and you had some good success.
Sure. Every year we send a holiday card, either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Last year we did a video. It was quite embarrassing of everyone dancing, and it got a lot of play, but we didn't do that this year. This year we drove everyone to our Facebook page and asked them to upload a photo to our Facebook page of what they'd baked for the holiday. That went out on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve was really busy at my house, five sons and grandkids running all over the place. And so in the evening, I, from my BlackBerry, looked at my Facebook page, at our Facebook page, and it was unbelievable of just people taking their Christmas Eve to post pictures of what they had baked. We had, in that amount of time, we had twice as many likes on our Facebook page as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Every visit across the board, everything was up to our Facebook page. We had at least 150 postings of photos.
That's great. That's great. So, you know, in the interest of time, and everybody's gonna the attendees will get a copy of these slides. So we're not gonna go through these in detail. But on the successes, Tracy and Laura, why don't you each take 30 seconds, 60 seconds max, or whatever, just Maybe touch and highlight anything that we haven't talked about already. Why don't we start with you, Laura? Is anything that sort of additional that what you'd like to share that really worked well this year?
Yeah, I think having an offer and a consistent message that resonates from Black Friday every day through Cyber Monday is really important. We didn't do that previously, and this year it worked, and I think we're going to continue to anniversary that. I think that free shipping offers don't have to be totally free. You can do things where you can ask the customer for something in return for it. We did some brand surveys this year where we gave free shipping in return for information, and that worked out really nicely for us too. And then extending our free shipping event at the end of the cutoff season one more day and participating in the national free shipping holiday that it was on, December 17th, I believe.
17th, yeah. Yep, 17th, yeah.
That made a difference.
Yeah. Okay, great. Tracy, any thoughts from you?
Well, I think that product-driven promotions for us continue to work, and so I'm sure that we'll just continue to do that. The vanilla email we offered a discount on vanilla, and that was through the season one of the highest AOVs that we had.
Yeah.
And the holiday card, simply because it was fun, and we enjoyed the response that we'd got, and our customers enjoyed connecting with us in that way.
Yep. Great. Why don't we stick with you, Tracy, on the disappointment side? I think you touched a bit on friends and family, but other things that did not meet your boss's expectations this year.
Well, the friends and family, definitely. We just kind of all just shrugged. We didn't really knew how to handle that. Cyber Monday, I'm hopeful that we can come up with some aspect of that works for us, but it just continues to not be a big performer for us.
Right, and that's because of who you guys are mostly, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Laura?
One of the email streams that we introduced this year was weekly specials that we'd send out every Tuesday with a 40 to 50% discount on a specific product for a week-long period. And, you know, they were somewhat disappointing. We thought that they would drive more loyal repeat visitors and followers of the emails. And, you know, not so much. We're fine-tuning that strategy a bit.
Were those sort of aggregated from, like, the other days, or was that different?
No, these were sent every Tuesday, and it was a new product every week, and
sent
previous sale purchasers. So it was a limited group of people, but it was all site-wide. It had site-wide presence, and it just didn't really draw what we were hoping it would draw in terms of giving people a reason to come back to the website on their own on a regular basis. Other things that we were disappointed about, we took a little bit too long of a break between the week of 12/8 to 12/12, you know, without any really relevant messaging. So I think we're going to have to put our heads together and come up with something really compelling that doesn't have to say free shipping.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what that is. And then list growth. I think that, you know, list growth is probably everybody's, you know, biggest challenge, and we haven't been able to wrap our arms around how to, you know, get a hold of that and capitalize on the opportunity to grow our list and keep.
Okay. Great. So, again, we're down to sort of about eight minutes or so. So, 2011. Why don't you each take just, you know, a lot of this we've talked about, but maybe any highlights. Let's stick with you, Laura, since you have the floor. What's at sort of the top of your wish list beyond list building that you really want to focus on this coming year?
Well, segmentation, because it does tend to work, and we're going to get another designer on staff so we can churn out more emails. So we'll be sending the emails out to less people for each send, but they'll be more productive, and I think that's great, and that will help you know, maintain our unsubscribe rates at a very healthy rate. I think social media has a great opportunity for us, and I want to see more integration with email and social and kind of get people looking at them synonymously. I'm noticing that a lot of people are abandoning their email address in favor of using Facebook and Twitter and things like that.
Right.
I really want to kind of get a handle on how to make use of that. I saw somebody had a question about whether or not we use mobile to do text messaging with promotions, and we're not doing that currently because our customer base is a little bit older, so mobile hasn't been something that we've adopted aggressively yet. But, you know, I do see it changing, and I think social media is going to play a big role in that too. Video, I think, is really important. We've started integrating video in some of our emails, and I think that they're resonating with customers because they're a way that we can deliver content really meaningfully to customers, because some of the information about our product is a little bit complex, and it's easier to see it. And follow-up emails. I think that's something that we definitely to be doing more often with more frequency to give people the post-purchase, you know, remove post-purchase dissonance.
Yep. Okay, great. And just sort of quickly, Tracy, so we can make sure we get to plenty of questions, any you know, other things that Laura didn't talk about?
For us, surveys, we usually send out one big survey a year, and it's just every, you know, department in the company wants information, so it gets to be out of hand. So sending smaller, short, more themed surveys would be great. You know, we're really great with the social media, I think, so just seeing where that can go for us.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Great. Yeah, well, I hope we can jump into some of these questions now. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay, great. I'm going to kind of go in order of what we just talked about. So we have a question about video. I'm not sure if you want to answer that, Lauren, or if, you know, if I don't know, I'm not sure who wants to answer that one. But basically, can you comment on embedding videos versus linking to them? And this person also had a question on whether or not multiple images in an email compromises loading.
I'll start and then let the other two. I mean, I mean, you know, you can spend hours talking about
right.
this, but in general, I think most people agree because of the blocking issues with ISPs and compatibility issues with email clients and things like that, is that most people will take an approach of putting a screenshot of the video or something like that in the email, and then you click out to the website, which is ultimately where you want to get them to anyway, to engage there, so then all they have to do is click over and make a purchase. So that was kind of thought there. I don't know, Laura, Tracy, any other thoughts on that?
When we use it, this is Tracy at King Arthur. When we use video, we either link from the email to our blog where we've embedded it or to the YouTube channel simply because we want the conversation to go on. We want
right.
them to comment on the video, and so that's the choice we've made.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Melissa, the other one was multiple images. Well, I mean, there's sort of technology behind the scene that most ESPs use that you know, puts servers close to where people are located when they're accessing the Internet that typically makes it so those images load very quickly. So, you know, having, you know, 15 images in an email, assuming it's optimized correctly, versus one or something like that, as far as I know, shouldn't be an issue or a concern. I don't know, Laura, Tracy, have you had any issues with that?
We haven't ever had any issues.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, a good designer can typically design
yeah.
an email so that you can avoid
right.
loading issues.
Yeah. Okay.
Another one was about integrating mobile text messages with marketing efforts. Has either of you guys done that or best practices around it?
No. I think I mentioned that. I kind
yeah.
of not doing that right now.
We're just starting to talk about it. It's something that we're looking at, and hopefully within the new year will be something that we move towards.
Okay, great. Lauren, any best practices around it, though, or?
I mean, obviously it starts with I think kind of what one of the things both of them talked about is it a priority around the demographics,
right?
And setting up that preference center and opt-in. Obviously, I mean, the first piece of it, you know, it's like birthday emails, right? Really easy to do, but if you don't capture somebody's birthday on opt-in or some, you know, you can't do it, right? And so it's the same here in understanding. You know, getting that mobile number into your preference center during opt-in or a post survey or whatever it is, and I think that's, you know, like birthdays, that's one of the challenges around this is that even if you get to the point where you have the resources and it's easy to deploy a Black Friday text message to people, if you don't have their mobile number, it's, you know, you can't do it. And so I think that's what we're going to start to see probably more of this year, because this year is the kind of year of what I call MOSHL, right, social and mobile working together and stuff. So I think we'll, as we heard from Laura and Tracy, it's something that is definitely on the radar for this year.
Okay, great, and we'll end it on that concept. We have one more question, and it's best practices to link email to social and vice versa. Any of you guys can take it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoever learns the best practice on that, tell me. I think I will say that I think King Arthur Flower has a really excellent community, and I think community is kind of the secret to that. So coming up with a reason to give people to come visit you on a regular basis and get engaged in your community will give you a really easy way to link email and social.
Yeah, we're you know, at this point just asking to share the email. We're asking our customer to share the email, and then we link every email using the Silverpop share feature through our email and embed it into our Facebook page or the King Arthur Flower Facebook page. So that's basically how we're doing it right now.
Melissa, I'll just add in real quickly. I know we're running up against the clock, but I think that one of the mistakes a lot of email marketers make with the whole, you know, share to social aspect is they just throw in a link or two to share to Facebook and Twitter when there really is no what I call share-worthy content and stuff. And I think that's, you know, really what we're talking about here with Laura and Tracy is, and particularly, you know, Tracy, what their sort of content focus is. You have to create standalone, oftentimes, emails that are designed specifically to be viral, to be shared, right? You've got to get that compelling reason why somebody would want to share that out. And that's why things like recipes and things like that often are really kind of some of the most popular, most successful sort of shared or social items, because people that like cooking and baking have their network and their peers, and they want to share those recipes out with everybody.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, I think we're just about out of time. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration, I want to thank our wonderful speakers for the session today. I want to thank Silverpop, and I also want to thank all of you for attending this webinar. For additional information about our webinar series, I said earlier, just check out www.retailonlineintegration.com/webinars. And also please take a moment to fill out our feedback survey. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.